All right, Parshas Chukat Balak. It is it's a big parsha. It's not easy in this period where when we're doing laning in shul, and the Bal Kore has to get all the aliyos, at least for right now, and in addition to having all of the aliyos, the Bal Kore, you know, also has to do the whole thing. We can't necessarily, like, you know, give it out to others. It makes it that much more difficult. So hitting Chukas Balak together, and then we're going to have Matos Masei a little bit later. It's definitely challenging. But we're going to see this evening Parshas Chukas. I'm going to do the share screen. I'm going to leave Balak to you guys to have fun with on your own. And here it is. Okay. So, Parsha Chukat, Zot Chukat HaTorah. This is the law of the Torah. We're going to end a little bit early tonight. We'll end at around 8:30. Tonight I have to go to a meeting, or I'm going to participate in a different meeting. So this is the law of the Torah. Zot Chukat HaTorah, Shetziva Hashem Limor. Daber al b'nei Yisrael, you should speak to the Jewish people. V'yichu elecha fara aduma, and take for yourself a para aduma temima, a pure red heifer, asher ein bamum, asher lo ala aleha ol, that doesn't have a mum, right? Has no blemish. That yoke has never been laid upon it. And this is the law of the Parah Aduma, and there's a whole bunch of other things. And then you take it, and then you burn it, you sacrifice it, and you burn it, and then, you know, you sprinkle the ashes onto people who were ritually impure, specifically people who were Tameim Lemeis, people who were exposed to death, and the major, they say, like, you know, why Zos Chukas HaTorah? This is the law. This is the chok of the Torah. We know that there are two kinds of mitzvot. There are chukim and mishpatim. There are illogical laws that that don't necessarily have a grounding in rational explanation, but are more, you know, ritualistic. Let's put it that way, right? That's what they translate here. There's the ritual law. And then there are mishpatim, right? Things that we understand, civil law, torts. You know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, moral, ethical law, etc. Okay, so this is the ultimate of the chukim of the Torah. One of the reasons given is because it defiles those who were pure, and those who were pure, those who were defiled, it makes them pure. Meaning, if you were impure, you were tamei meis. So you needed this paraduma to be sprinkled, the ashes to be sprinkled upon you in order to achieve ritual purity, to achieve, you know, tahara. Yet on the other hand, the individual who is involved in preparing it and sprinkling it, that person becomes tameh himself, which is obviously a real oddity. But the whole thing is odd. Like, let's be honest, right? It's you know, a red cow, and it can't have one white hair. It has to be completely red, and it could never have been worked. And there are so many, like, specific rules and details that pertain to it that it's just, like, sort of very out there. That's how the Torah sees it. Now, it's interesting that in Parsha Chukat, we have something that occurs, which is probably one of the most difficult things to understand in the Torah. What is that? Aside from the whole Parah Aduma concept, Moshe Rabbeinu, right, has the incident of Mei Meriva, where he's fighting with the Jews, with the next generation of Jews, or he's arguing with them, and he's frustrated with them, and right, we know he hits the rock instead of speaking to the rock, or maybe he was supposed to hit and speak to the rock. It's all, you know, a whole, that's for another shiur, for another time. Again, you could go ahead and look into it. It's in Parshas Chukas right here. And then Hashem proclaims this sentence on him, Moshe, I love you, you're wonderful, but sorry, you know, you're not going, Yan lo emantim bi lakdisheni le'enei b'nei Yisrael, since you didn't believe in me, you didn't display sufficient faith in me, which is hard to understand in any level, how Moshe, you know, how could it be that Moshe didn't, you know, display, you know, lacked a sense of faith in God, but since you didn't do it and you didn't sanctify me in the names and the eyes of the Jewish people, which is probably more having to do, it's about their faith, probably much more than his faith, you're not going to Israel. Done. Shoin. Sorry. Not happening, Moshe. Right? And obviously, we know this is like, what? Right? It's like Moshe's life stream, and he begs and he pleads to no avail. It happens here. Right? So, you know, the rabbis want to say, well, yeah, you know, Moshe is judged. You know, a tzaddik is judged, a righteous person is judged even by kechuta sara, even by the hair's breadth of what they do wrong. The higher you are, the greater you are, the more precise or exacting God will be with you, and you'll get judged. Now, for anyone who's like, who that answer is, you know, who's comfortable with that answer, more power to you. Kol hakavod lachem. That's wonderful. You know, it's so hard. How do we get that? How do we understand that? It's completely, I always put it in the realm of Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is one of the mysteries of the Torah. How to fully understand and comprehend Moshe doing everything he did, giving his life for the Jewish people, and yet not being able to go into land. Now, there are more like sort of rational, you know, ways to explain it, right? It was the next generation, and the new generation needed a new. That's when it happened with the next generation that was headed into Israel, not his generation that he grew up with, and you know they needed a new voice, they needed a new leader. There was a disconnect. You know, you could say that makes sense, but to put it on the sin, and it's there. The Torah puts it on this sin, you know, that he did. It's hard. It's a real tough one. So that's where we're going to start. Zos Chukas HaTorah. Okay? Tarti Lamali. Nemar. Sorry, one second. We're going to get the next one. I apologize. V'yikhu elecha para v'gomer. Okay? Take for yourself a para aduma. Perish Rashi. La'olam hi nikres al shmecha. Notice that it said, "Vikhu elecha, let them take to you a para aduma." Now, again, the basic way of understanding it is instruct here, as it says, instruct the Israelite people to bring you a red cow without blemish. Bring it to you, Moshe. But why is that odd? Like, so Rashi says, like, yeah, because la'olam hi nikres al shmecha, the para aduma will always be called after Moshe. Para aduma will be always associated or affiliated with Moshe. It was like a zechus, right? Like, you know, naming rights, kiviyachal on a stadium, right? It's always going to be Moshe's para aduma, right? Kind of something like that. Or, you know, I appreciate you, Moshe. I'm giving you, it's a special kavod. This is the Moshe Rabbeinu Para Aduma, right? Like the blah, blah, blah social hall, the blah, blah, blah sanctuary, the blah, 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 blah medical school. This is the Moshe Rabbeinu Para Aduma. What does Moshe have to do with Para Aduma? What is this? So it says, there's a Kliyaka. Maya Karu Gdula, not on the Moshe Bizet. What great, like, what's the great, you know, Groysa covet, you know, that Moshe gets for, you know, that the Para is going to be called on his name? Like, what's going on here? What's Rashi talking about? Now, Karav Eli Lomar Bezeh, She'ein Mitzvah Nikres Ki'im Al Shem HaGomra. So he says that a mitzvah is called upon, right? You associate the mitzvah with the person who finishes the job, who finishes it, who finishes the mitzvah. Uladas Rabbeinu Zal, Hapara kapara al avon ha'egel. According to the rabbis, in the Medrash, the para aduma, the red heifer, a female cow, it was meant to be an atonement for the sin of the golden calf, based on this idea. Tavo ha'em utekaneach tzoas bina. Let the mother come and clean up the mess, the tzoa, the filth, right, that the child created, right? I guess in those days, it was only mothers that were changing diapers. In our day and age, right now, even husbands change diapers too. But that's the story the Medrash gives. Compared to a woman, a maidservant who serves in the king's palace at the king's, disposal, and she has her child living with her, and the child makes a big mess, right? And literally, the child, was not wearing his diaper, makes a mess in the gathering hall in the palace. So the king calls the mother and says, "Hey, you got to clean up that mess." That's the parable. That's the idea. The nimshal is, right, the mashal is the parable, the nimshal is the moral. The nimshal is, that's the idea of the para aduma coming as an atonement for the golden calf, right? That's the calf, that the child made a big mess, and now the para aduma is going to clean it up. What? What's happening here? We'll explain. Ukeshem Shemoshe hitchil bekaparazo, since it was Moshe that started the job of atonement for the golden calf, right? We know the Cheder Egel happens and the Jewish people, and Moshe gets down there and he breaks the luchos, right? And then he goes and he actually takes the calf, and what does he do with it? He grinds it up and he burns it, right? And then he puts it in water and he sprinkles it on the people, right? Same, very interesting. That's this almost the same exact way that the ritual of the para aduma was almost the exact same thing, right? But this is with the mother, right? So Moshe started it, right? The atonement process for the golden calf, kishasaraf ha'egel, the yitchonoto dakle afar, when he burnt the calf and then he ground it up and, again, put it in water and, gave it to the people, I think, to drink. Kach yigmor ha'kapara. So too, the kapara will end that way as well. Shagam hagamar yikrei al shemo. So too, if Moshe started the process of atonement for the golden calf, so he's, he's the remedy. That's the illness. He's the remedy. So we'll call it. It'll be the Moshe vaccine. Mirtz Hashem, right? It's the Moshe vaccine for para aduma, and he'll finish. He's finishing the job. Now, what is it? What does this have to do, like, with? What does the para aduma have to do with? Yes, it's very connected. Ritually, it's connected. It's connected through Moshe, but also there's this idea that when the Jewish people sinned with the golden calf, then it kind of took away a certain freedom that the Jewish people have. That there was some by some supernatural feat, the existence of mankind was returned back to the state of Adam and Chava, of Adam and Eve, before they ate from the tree, right? So it's like literally you were back, and we know, what does it say? God said that when you eat from the tree, don't eat from the tree. Why? Because if you do, on the day you do, pentamutun, you're going to die. Now, there are different ways of understanding that, but basically the idea was that, I think we'll see this a little later, the idea was that, yes, there was going to be death in the world before they ate from the tree, but it would be a different kind of death. It would be kind of like a Hashem, Hashem easing the transition of a person's soul from this world to the next world, not the difficulties of the angel of death, the Malach HaMavis, right? It'll be more Hashem through what we call Neshika, the kiss, right? Where the divine kiss, where Hashem, it's a seamless transition, and without the other, kinds of negative associations that we have with death. So the idea was that when they received the Torah, they returned to that pre-sin state, but the moment that they worshiped, the golden calf, they brought it all back. So the whole association with death came right back. What is the Parah Aduma supposed to atone for? Death, right? The idea of the Parah Aduma was after a person is, has an association with death, God forbid someone passed away, whatever, and they have to be mitani mes, they have to go to a funeral, they have to be around. So then now they're going to be purified, they're going to be atoned for it, they're going to be remedied by the Parah Aduma. So that's the sort of the deeper level of how one comes to atone for the other. Vizatam Amrabu Senuzal Kishishama Moshe Shakadosh Barcha Amma Halacha Bishem Eliezer Para Batshtaim Egla Batshnata. There's a Yalkut Shimoni, another medrash that says that when Moshe heard Hashem say the halacha in the name of Eliezer, who's Eliezer? Eliezer is his son. It's very interesting because we don't hear much about Moshe's children, right? It's that classic, the classic vort that every rabbi hates. I'm not a fan of that vort, right? That, the rabbi, but then he's too busy. It's like the shoemaker, right? He's always with the shoemaker's kids have no shoes, that kind of thing. So people say the same, right? Oh, we don't hear of Moshe's children ever. We hear of Aaron's children. We hear of Moshe had two children, Gershom and Eliezer. Well, here, guess what? We hear something about Moshe's children, okay? It says that the halacha would be brought, was said in the name of Eliezer, his son, that a para is 2 years old and an egla is batshnata, is 1 year old, right? So that's the difference between a para and an egla, a calf versus a para and a heifer. Amar yihiratzun she Eliezer zeh miyotze chalatzai. V'shenemar v'shema echad Eliezer, right? So he says, may it be or will Hashem that this Eliezer will be from my, from my descendants, as it says, Hashem Ayachad Eliezer. I think it's a different Eliezer it's talking about, not the Eliezer his son, but he's talking about Eliezer his son. Anyways, point is, what does that do with anything? Umara Moshe al kach halavakeh shal din zeh sheyatzam yotze chalatzav yoter mikol sisrei Torah. Why would Moshe Moshe deals with all of the secrets of the Torah and all of the different principles and halachas of the Torah. Why this mitzvah, the Parah Aduma thing, why should that specifically be associated with his family, with his descendants, come from his, direct line, from everything else? You have many generations, right, of Torah and whatever. Why this? Ella, lefisha b'masa egel masar Moshe nafsho al Yisrael. He says because it was through the masa egel that Moshe, when the sin of the golden calf happened, and Moshe went down there, he risked everything. The self sacrifice that Moshe showed. In this specific instance, right, during this whole, throughout the whole process of Cheda Egel and the atonement and so on and so forth, was so amazing. Shenemar mecheinina mesifrecha, where he tells God himself, he stands up to God and says, God, if you don't forgive them, erase me from your book. I don't want to be here. I'm not going to be a part of your Torah. I'm out. You better forgive them. He literally gave up his life. He put his life on the line, his entire legacy on the line for the Jewish people through the by the Egel. V'nikru al shmo. So therefore, they're called after his name. Shemar v'yizkor yemei olam Moshe amo. And that's why it says beautifully, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, and you'll remember the days of old Moshe amo, the nation of Moshe, Moshe's people. Al kain, ratza shegam b'parazu. Mirosh v'atzof tikra al shmo. So in the same way, they wanted that with the para from the beginning to end that it would be called after his name, meaning that right, that the para would be named for him, so to speak. Ki para, right? Because again, it's the end. It's the final remedy of atonement for the cheda egel. Ki para ta'ama l'sharesh achar avodah zarah. Because the idea of the para is to uproot any idolatry. V'chein egla arufa kapara. The egla arufa was also a kapara for murder. So the para adumism was supposed to be a remedy, like we said, for for death that brought, was brought into the world, and for idolatry, right? That's the obvious connection. And that's why you see the Egla Arufa, where the thing, it's not a story, the halacha that you see at the end of Parshas Shoftim, where they break the back of the neck of a calf. Why a calf, right? When they find someone who was murdered and they don't know who did it, right? It's like a John Doe Nebuch, right? Again, it's an egel because it said, look, there was murder and idolatry, right, that took place at the sin of the golden calf. Why the Baharigas Chur? They killed a man named Chur, who was Moshe's brother-in-law. They killed Chur there as well. L'kach ne'amar v'ikhoi lecha shegamar mitzvah zu tikarei al shmecha. And that's why it says, v'ikhoi lecha, it'll be for you, right? Again, because you finished it off. So, again, para aduma is Moshe's para. V'yan ki ne'amar zos chukas ha-torah, v'lo ne'amar chukas ha-para. And he says, notice, it says zos chukas ha-torah. This is the chok of the Torah itself, right? A general principle of the Torah. V'lo ne'amar chukas ha-para. It doesn't say these are the laws. This is the illogical law of the para. Shma nina she'atorah ve'hapara inyan echad lahem. He says, we see from here that the Torah and the para are one. K'mo she'atorah nikreis al shmo shel Moshe, just as the Torah, this is so beautiful, just as the Torah is called by Moshe's name, why we refer to the Torah as Toras Moshe, Shneimar Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, at the very end of all of Navi, of Torah and Nevi'im, right, in Malachi, in the book of Malachi, in the end of Treyasar, it says, remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant, so too, right, or Moshe, emes Moshe, emes Torasa, right, Moshe, emes V'Torasa, emes, kacha para tikari al shmo. So too the para is going to be called after your name as well. V'tam shneim echad hu. And the reason for both is one. It's the same reason. Ki nun shari bina nivru ba'olam. There were 50 gates of wisdom that were created in the world. V'kulam nimsru l'moshe chaser achas. And they were all given, all the gates of wisdom were given to Moshe except for one. So he had 49. V'ayein memtet. Memtet shari bina shehisig, and through the 49 gates of wisdom that he comprehended, hayalo mavo lavo besod Hashem, he was able to really enter into the secrets of God. Lidrosh haTorah b'memtet panim tar b'memtet panim tame, to expound the Torah 49 ways this way and 49 ways that way. Okay? That's Moshe's zechus. V'chein tama para nela me'ein kol chai. At the end of the day, as much as we understand the Torah, guess what, guys? We don't understand. The more we understand, the more we realize, as they say, how little we understand. Right? That's the whole point. Think about Shmona Esrei. In Shmona Esrei, we say, Ata Kadosh V'Shimcha Kadosh. We say, Hashem, you're holy, and your name is holy. Right? Ukdoshim B'chol Yimei L'Chasela, Baruch Ata Hashem HaKel HaKadosh. We say, blessed are you, Hashem, the holy God. What does it mean to be holy? What does Kadosh mean? Kadosh means separate, muvdal, different, out of this world, right? Hamavdil Bein Kodesh L'Chol. What's Kodesh? Shabbat. Why is Shabbat Kodesh? What makes it Kodesh? It's different. We turn off our phones. We're not on the computers. We're not working. We're not engaged in work. It's different. That's what makes it Kodesh. You can bring Kedusha into your life in every way, right? In every way of your life by being different, right? By not being like sort of everyone else, not doing what everyone else does, but keeping to the regulations and the beautiful framework that the Torah and the mitzvot have for us. That's what Kedusha is, okay? So, right after that, in Shmon Esrei, what do we say? Baruch Atah Hashem HaKel HaKadosh. What's the next bracha? Atah Chonein LaAdam Das. Right? The next bracha, I see you saying, Echani, good, right? That you grant man wisdom, right? Grant humanity wisdom, right? Baruch Hashem Chonein Adas. The wisdom comes from you. What's the ultimate wisdom? It's knowing how much you don't know. That's the ultimate wisdom. It's knowing that Hashem is Kadosh, that Hashem is different, that there are things about God's world that I cannot possibly understand. However, it doesn't mean we don't try. It doesn't mean we don't try to elevate ourselves and figure things out and try to come to an understanding, even though that understanding will be lacking. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Moshe, who was on the 49, who had the 49 levels of wisdom, and he raised himself and he pushed and said, I want more, and I want to know more, and I want to understand more. But also understood that there were things that he couldn't understand. Even Shlomo HaMelech, right here, Afilu Shlomo Shnemar, Bo Vayecha Mikola Adam, it says, even about Moshe, we say he was the wisest of all people. Well, guess what? When it comes to the Parah Aduma, he said, Amarti Echkema, I said I would be exceedingly wise, Vihi Rechokami Meni, but it's far away from me. There's still things I just can't fully chap, I can't fully understand. And that's what it is to be a human being. Now, what's fascinating is, as he gets into these 49s and whatever, is that Moshe dies. We know, unfortunately, in Parshas Chukas, it's also a sad Parsha. Not only does Moshe have this decree of not going to Israel, what else we have? Aaron dies, Miriam dies. It's really sad. It's very difficult Parsha. And by the way, again, perfect for Chukas. We don't know. We don't have an understanding how this could be, how things happen like this to great people, not just the good people, to great people, men and women, the greatest. We don't know. We don't understand. Moshe dies, obviously, at the end of the Torah. What's the name of the mountain that he dies on? Har Nevo, right? Everyone's going to say Har Nevo. This is one of my most favorite concepts. I'm going to write it out for you. Check this out. Har Nevo. Let's spell it out. 1 second. Wait. How do I draw? Come on. Draw. Come on. Wait, let me try it again. Sorry. Annotate. Text. No. Draw. Huh. I found it last time. No. All right, let's try this. Okay. Here we go. Nun. Nevo. Nun. Bet Vav. What does it spell, Hevra? What did we say? Moshe Rabbeinu in his life, he was able to achieve 49 levels of wisdom. When he died? Nun? Bo. 50 is within him. When he dies, he achieves 50. That's the idea. That during his life, he could only get to 49. Then Nunbo. He dies on Har Nevo. Nunbo. 50 is within him. That's the concept. Okay? So, just to put a little bow on this, just going down, hold on. Okay, so he says, "B'medrash v'yichoy lechafar lechani megala sod paru lacher mihichuka v'lama ne'alama mein kolchai elo fisheish ba mispar memtev v'zeram as chenu zaki l'tzarif kolin yanaki al yedei memtev chari bina shlo niglukim l'moshe al kain hilacher mihichuka v'afilu l'shlon." Okay, so he says that yes, you know, Moshe had the ability to comprehend this up to the 49th level, maybe even fully understood it because he had the 49. But again, you get to 50, that's when he fully comprehends it. And so going back, just to understand, right, it takes us back to the way what we began with. Moshe sins, right, whatever happened there and him not being able to go, but that's the whole point. Moshe, Torah's Moshe, right, the Torah's called after Moshe's name. The parah is called after Moshe's name. Zos chukas haTorah. This is the chok of the Torah, right? Because it's one and the same. The Torah and the parah are one and the same. They enter into a realm of things that we are lucky enough, we're privileged enough to have brought into this world as things that that can connect us to Hashem, as things that can give us incredible meaning and fulfillment in the way that we live our lives. But ultimately, right, like death itself, there are things we can't understand. We can't understand. And we have to be able to humble ourselves to get to that space of saying, you know what, Hashem, you're in control. And there are things that I just don't understand. To be living now, and I'm just saying it, right? If whatever, you know, if idolatry was their problem, right? What's our problem? It's humility. What's the problem of our generation, of our society? It's humility. It's saying that we understand every single technological thing. I mean, the things that we can do are unbelievable, right? We can I can send a text right now, we could go to China instantaneously. And yet, somebody could come out of China, right? And we're still, to this day, the entire world, we still don't understand it. Is that wild? We still don't understand it. It's been 5 months, 6 months. We still don't fully understand it. Now, okay, so I could look at it and say, man, that's really depressing. I'm just going to be depressed. Thanks, Rabbi. Or you could say, wow, think about that. Think about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God. Think about the power of what we have in the Torah. If the Torah and the Para Aduma are one and the same, that there are things, he gives us principles, he gives us ways to live, methods, laws, rituals, mitzvot, etc. But he also says to us, guys, there are things you're just not going to fully comprehend. There are things you're not going to understand. And if you didn't trust me yet, well, now you'll trust me. And maybe it doesn't depress us. Maybe it puts us in a place, it's difficult not to be depressed by it, there's no question. But maybe it puts us in a place where we could look and we could say, you know what? We aren't in control of our lives. We are here. Every day is a blessing. Every kiss and every hug and every smile that we see from family and friends, how much of a, you know, it's a gift. We took them all for granted. Everything's a gift. And if we could look at things that way, perhaps Hashem, you know, in his infinite wisdom, can help us find this remedy for that perhaps that, I'm saying myself, the arrogance that we've had, that we understand everything and we could weather everything. And we could find the humility requisite in acknowledging that we don't have all of the answers, just like Shlomo HaMelech, just like even Moshe Rabbeinu until the very end. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for being with me.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Stay classy, Scarsdale. Bye, guys. Agutanach. Miss everyone.